Greetings, travelers. Yes, it's time for a tale from me, and I have to dig back into my West Virginia roots here, and I may slip into accent here and there. I'm going to go back and tell a tale. Now, this is an old tale, just kind of interesting, and it leads into a series of tales. I know I've been starting all these, and I keep saying I'm going to go back into other series, as I am. I'm rotating through all this. So this is another one I thought I would jump into. Stop me if you've heard it, but I know some of you haven't. One time, way back years ago, there was a boy named Jack. He and his folks lived off in the mountains somewhere, and they were awful poor. Just didn't have a thing. Jack had two brothers, Will and Tom. And they're in some of Jack's tales, but this one I'm fixing to tell you now, there's just Jack in it. Now, Jack was awful lazy sometimes, just wouldn't do any lick of work. His mother and his daddy kept trying to get him to help, but they couldn't do a thing with him when he took a lazy spell. Well, Jack decided one time he'd pull out from there and try his luck in some other section of the country. So his mother fixed him up a little snack of dinner, and he put on his old raggedy coat, and he lit out. Now, it happened once that Jack was down on his luck, and so he decided to go out looking for work. Now, Jack didn't like work much, but he figured it was better than starving. So he put up his beat-up old hat and put that on his head and set off down the road, and he came to an old mill. The miller was standing outside, and Jack asked him if he had any work to give. "Well, yes, I do," said the miller. "I need someone to tend the mill and grind the corn. You work for me, and I'll pay you fair, and I'll give you a board and let you sleep in the mill. But there's something I should tell you. There's some hating going on in that mill, and nobody who's worked for me has lived past the first night they stayed there." Jack took a look at the mill, and it was a fine, big stone building with plenty of glass windows that looked mighty cozy and dry and like a good place to set up a home for some time. "Well, I reckon I can handle any haints," said Jack. "I don't get scared much, and there ain't no haint that's worse than being dead, hungry, and out of a job." So the miller gave Jack the keys to the mill and let him get started. Pretty soon after that, an old man with a long beard carrying a big bag of corn over his shoulder, and he walked up the road. "Hello, Jack," said the old man. "Hello there," said Jack. "I don't believe I've seen you before." "No," said the old man, "I'm a stranger." "Then how does it that you happen to know my name?" asked Jack. "I knowed ye the time I saw ye," said the old man. "I was wondering if you could grind this corn for me." And so Jack took the corn into the mill and ground it real fine for the old man. And the old man took his bag of meal and said to Jack, "Well, you've been so kind and helpful, Jack. I want to give you a present. Take this here knife. It's real sharp and will cut real fine." Jack said, "I can't take that. That looks like it's made out of silver." And the old man said, "I will not have it. You have this knife." And so the man set off back down the road, and Jack busied himself tidying up the mill and making it into a home. As the evening drew on, the miller came to the door with a hunk of meat and a big old piece of pone for Jack's supper. "I reckon any man deserves a fine last meal," the miller said as he set off back to his house. Jack built himself a fire and cooked the meat to a nice stew and set in to settle down for the night. Jack sat there eating his stew. He saw something out of the corner of his eye. A big black cat walked into the room. Jack didn't pay it no mind, but then another cat came in, and another, and they were getting bigger and bigger. Soon there were 12 big black cats, each one even bigger than the last. They were all sitting around the room and staring at Jack. And Jack was a little nervous about this, but he figured there was nothing to fear from a bunch of cats. But then the biggest, blackest cat of all walked right up to Jack. He looked up and down at Jack, and then Jack, and back at Jack, and then it spoke to him. "Sop, doll, sop," said the cat, and it stuck its paw right in Jack's stew to sop up the juices and started licking that tasty meat right off its paw. Now, Jack was a little surprised at this, but he looked right back at the cat and said, "You do that again, and I'll cut that doll right off." The cat didn't seem to care much, looked up and down all over Jack again. Then it cast its bright green eyes right on that bowl. "Sop, doll, sop," said the cat, and stuck its paw right in the bowl again. So Jack whipped out that knife the old man had given him and cut that doll right off. When he did this, the cat let out a yowl, and all the other cats started yowling, and they all ran out into the night. Jack went to pick up the cat's paw lying on the ground, but when he did, he was surprised to see that it wasn't a cat's paw lying there, but a woman's hand with a wedding ring on one finger. So Jack wrapped it up in a cloth and set it aside to show the miller in the morning. When the morning came, the miller came right in without knocking, figuring he'd find nothing but another funeral he's going to have to pay for. But there was Jack, stretched out before the fire and still snoring away. The miller woke Jack up. Jack told him what happened and showed him the hand. "I know that hand," said the miller, "and I sure know that ring. You come on up to the house with me and we'll get this sorted." So Jack and the miller walked up to the house, where the miller led them right to his wife, who was still lying in bed with the covers pulled up right up to her chin. "I don't feel so good," said the wife. "I ain't getting up today." "You show me your hand," said the miller. And the wife stuck her right hand out from under the covers. "It's your left hand I want to see," said the miller. But the wife said she wouldn't show him her left hand. And so he pulled off the covers where her left hand would have been, but there was nothing but a bloody stump. Now the miller knew that his wife was a witch, and he knew that she was the one who had killed all the men he'd hired to work for him. And just then, 11 other women rushed into the room. They were the rest of the witches, who knew, like witches do, that their secret was out. And so Jack and the miller rushed out of the house and barred the door and set the house on fire. And pretty soon that house and all those witches were burned up. Crackle, crackle, pop. "It was a lucky thing you had that silver knife," said the miller. "You know, you can't hurt a witch with a knife unless it's a silver knife." "I guess that wife of mine had been mixed up with a pass of witches. Well, now there's no more of that." And so Jack stayed with the miller for some time. They rebuilt the house, they got the mill working well, and he paid Jack well, and the miller got himself another prettier wife who wasn't a witch. Jack made a good living for some time until he'd reckoned he'd done enough milling, and he decided to set off again to find something else to do. I hope you enjoyed that story. That is one of the common folktales associated with the Jack Tales. And they all concern a young boy named Jack, who usually uses his luck and wits to beat enemies and repeatedly make a fortune and then somehow lose it before the next story. And they are well-traveled, these stories, and is considered the cornerstone of American folklore. But I think there's more to this, and I know there's more to this. Most of these tales were first recorded in America by a guy named Isabel Carter, and he'd heard them from this lady named Miss Jane Gentry in Hot Springs, North Carolina in the 1920s. And he started recording these. And then a man named Richard Chase collected these. And that is called the Jack Tales. Now, that bearded old man, he shows up in several of Jack's stories, usually to give him some present that is essential in filling out some quest. And he's kind of like a deus ex machina for this stuff. He just kind of shows up as a matter of convenience. But "I knowed ye the time I saw you" basically implies some sort of religious figure. So I think there's more to him. Now, that phrase, "sop, doll, sop," it's kind of ambiguous. You know, sopping up a thing is a thing. And I've heard that doll is another name for a cat's paw. But I can't seem to find it anywhere except in this story and a couple other little anecdotes. So, I don't know. Growing up in West Virginia, my grandmother used to call cat's paws dolls, and it took me forever to figure out what she was talking about. We're going to talk a little bit more about Jack Tales' origins after we come back, and I think it may surprise you. Let's have a word from our sponsor.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/affirmations or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/affirmations.
So the Jack Tales. Jack has basically for the last 50 some odd years come to occupy this privileged position in folklore. I say 50 years. It's probably closer to 70 years. I'm sorry. For me, the 1940s is 50 years ago still. So who is this boy Jack and where did he come from? And this guy, Richard Chase, what the heck is him coming up with the Jack Tales and all that? Well, basically, as far back as the English language goes, you can find folk tales about a guy named Jack. Jack the Giant Killer, Jack and his stepdame, Jack and the Three Sisters. Oh my gosh, so many Jack stories. There are some international stories, like The Dance Among the Thorns has a guy named Jack. And Jack and his stepdame, which is Jack abused by his stepmother. And he shares food with an old beggar who grants him three wishes. And a bow and arrows that never miss their mark. A pipe whose music compels all that hear it to dance. And a spell that forces his stepmother to fart explosively whenever she looks angry at him. Well, he punishes his stepmother as well as a friar, which was recruited to beat him. So other people have tried to sell Jack just basically to children, right? He's a children's tales and stuff. But just like the Grimm's fairy tales, some of his stories are freaking scary if you go back to the original. You know, Jack and the Giant Killer. Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. And that's Jack and the Giants. And that goes all the way back to 1596 with other variations and stuff like that. I think even Shakespeare put it in King Lear. We can't say Jack is from all this stuff. One of the things about Jack and the Giant Killer, this was, you know, in the 19th century storybooks, and it's basically a boy who saves Cornwall by trapping a giant in a pit and killing him with a pickaxe. The boy strangles two other giants and kills a fourth by tricking him into cutting his stomach open. And he lures a fifth into a cell to hide from an imaginary enemy and then locks him up and then steals all his magic items. You see all that, but one of the cool things about that is that there's even older legend like King Arthur. One of the earliest stories of him from 1136 pits the king against giants in a battle near Land's End, which is exactly where six centuries later, Jack kills the giant. So King Arthur, Jack, who knows? It's the way this works is folklore adapts and they adapt these characters over and over again. And then you start thinking about nursery rhymes, Jack and Jill, Jack Horner, Jack Spratt. It's a common name. So that was why it was kind of used a lot. The Scots had their version of it. And that was Jacques or Jock. And then the Highlands and Gaelic speakers called him Jake. And of course now it's Jack. And that's where we get him. He was very popular in Britain and Ireland. At the same time, Britain was colonizing the world. So immigrants from Britain and Ireland, they come to the colonies, especially in the Caribbean. And Jack became a hugely popular character amongst the Bahamian travelers. And in some Jamaican traditions, Jack appears in almost every tale, not as the character, but as kind of the narrator or maybe a listener. And then the people telling these stories would always end it by saying, Jack Montora mi no chuzeni, which means roughly, by Jack Mandora, listening at Heaven's Gate, don't blame me for the tale I just told. I think that's something I need to say a lot because that's how it goes. So now, where does North America Jack come from? Several settlers told Jack tales, Jack and the Giant, Jack and Wandering Knights. And this was pretty popular, especially in like chapbooks circulating at that time. And many of these tales were lengthy and they covered all sorts of ranges of incidents. And so they were pretty easily committed to memory in bits And I think that's how it survived generation to generation. The American tales have been published over and over again. The Scotch-Irish settlers brought their Jacks. That's where we get Jack of the Lantern and some other stories. We'll tell his story around Halloween time, of course. But all this stands by one book, a guy named Richard Chase. And he went to one family, the Harmons in North Carolina, and a company of contemporary storytellers in their households, and he listened to all those stories. That became the Jack Tales book, probably one of the biggest selling books of all time. And he put 16 stories in it. That's where it comes from. But we realize now that Chase didn't actually copy these 100% Jack's Tales, right? There wasn't just one Jack. There's all these stories where Jack has two older brothers, two living parents, and others his mother is dead. One, he's at the mercy of the stepmother we mentioned. Sometimes he's a fool. Sometimes he's the cleverest boy in town. And everybody kind of has ways of dealing with him. I loved one guy once said, this ain't the same Jack. These stories are 100, 200, 300 years apart. So maybe it's descendants, stuff like that. The Jack Tales is basically usually associated with Southern Appalachians because that's where Richard Chase did the collecting for his book, The Jack Tales. He told them with a lot of wit and style, but we think what happened is he says he copied them all from this one family, the Halperts. Basically what happened is Halpert was this guy and he was sitting out on a trip and there was this girl named Ann Warner and her new husband, Frank, and they were in New York, but they had fallen in love with the dulcimer. And it was made by a friend of theirs named Maurice Mattinson. And he was a professor of music at the University of South Carolina. And the Warners wanted their own dulcimer. Madison said, oh, I didn't actually build this. It was actually built by this guy out on Beach Mountain in North Carolina, a guy named Nathan Hicks. And so the Warners start messaging this guy. And long story short, they find out the family's struggling. So they bring him a car full of gifts and cash, and their family builds him a dulcimer. But while they're there, he's teaching him how to play. He's singing all these classic songs, including one, Tom Dooley. They would later share, popularized by the Kingston Trio back in the 1958. They also were recording them telling stories. Now, sadly, they were there for the music. They had very few blank recording discs back at the time. They couldn't afford to record 30 minutes worth of story and stuff, but they got fragments of it. And so, wow, these are great. Now, later on, we start realizing how important these stories were. So Ray Hicks, thankfully, got a National Endowment for the Arts, and he was able to go to the original National Storytelling Festival in 1973, 30 years later. And Ray was a featured teller, and he returned every year for 30 years until his death in 2003. And there are recordings of the National Storytelling Festival that has all of his stories. And what we find out, they're not the same versions as the Jack Tales. And what we found out is that Chase, he made these recordings. He drew a lot of stuff for the book, but he also went back to these British and English tales and kind of mixed and matched and made his own versions. That's why these stories in the Jack Tales book aren't quite the stories you hear out in Appalachia, stuff like that. So that's the way it works. We got to say, hey, if it wasn't for Chase, the Jack Tales might have kind of faded out of memory. But thankfully, they are there. You can find authentic ones. And honestly, Chase, we owe it to you that you did make some good stuff. Now, there are some great folktale anthologies out there. I really recommend Old Greasy Beard. That's a much more representative sample of stories. I may go into those just because fun. And a few of those have a character named Jack. Sadly, in most of those, Jack is kind of an idiot. I don't know if it's the same Jack, but maybe there's hundreds of Jacks. We got to go with all this. I think we have fun with this. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit about Jack's Tales. I don't think Chase should take all the blame. It's not his fault that people left these oral traditions and stories uncollected for so long. And that's why I'm trying my best to save these and document them. And I hope that, you know, when I go out and I talk to these old storytellers and they're telling them the way their grandma told it, and you go out in the hollers and I'm trying to get holler monster stories, sometimes I wind up with a new Jack tale that I've never heard. And hopefully I can share some of those at some point on this. If you guys want to hear them, I'm pretty happy with them. I think there's some great ones. There's one about a master thief named Jack, which I don't think I've ever heard. And I think it'll be fun. And there's just a lot. I don't know what else to say. So there, even though there's many Jacks and Richard Jase has his followers that say, that's it. I like Jack. I think sometimes he's a little risque. He survived for more than 500 years, despite how many people tried to clean up the stories. Yes, they're for kids a lot of times. I don't know, chopping off a hand with a silver knife, that's pretty brutal. Jack sometimes is aided by magic. Well, most of the American Jacks rely on their wits. And some other Jacks, they're fun. Now, don't even get me started on John the Balladeer. We'll talk about him another time. But with that, gang, thank you so much for joining me on this. I hope you like some of this folklore. I hope you like some of these tales. As a travel, go to your local folklore or storytelling festival. They're all over the place. There are storytelling societies everywhere. Get involved. Tell your own stories. Or at the very least, listen to these amazing storytellers tell stories and just enjoy yourself. I'm a member of Storytellers of Tampa Bay. I'm now a member of the Folkmoot Society up here in North Carolina. I've spoken at the International Storytellers Conference. I've spoken at state storyteller conferences. I'm looking forward to telling more. And when you go out there and you happen to go get a job, watch out for big cats. Keep a silver knife with you, and we'll see you on the other side.